Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A cancer diagnosis can be among the most overwhelming pieces of news anybody ever receives. And then in the aftermath of that diagnosis, it's hard to know exactly what to do, what questions to ask, what information to prioritize, how you go about making decisions and choices for your treatment. Well, there's a book out now aimed at addressing and helping people through those questions. It's written by an oncologist and a palliative care specialist in Boston. It's called Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide to coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. And we're joined now by Dr. Vicki Jackson. She's chief of the palliative care division at Massachusetts General Hospital and co-author of the book. Dr. Jackson, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Meghna.
Also with us is Dr. Jackson's co-author, Dr. David Ryan. He's chief of hematology and oncology at Mass General and the clinical director of the Cancer Center. Dr. Ryan, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And we also have with us Jenny Bass. She's a cancer patient of Dr. Jackson's and Dr. Ryan's, and she also proudly tells me she's the mother of two wonderful kids. Jenny, it's great to have you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So Drs. Jackson and Ryan, let me first start off by asking you, what was your overall goal in writing this book? What is it about our understanding of cancer that you felt needed to be changed?
So we had two big ideas that we wanted to work on with this book. The first big idea is this great experiment that Vicki and I have been a part of at Mass General for the last 15 years or so, and that is the combination of palliative care and oncologic care for cancer patients as they go through the process of getting treated for cancer. And then the second big idea was we wanted to make a book that acted as a guide, kind of a what to expect when you're expecting, except for cancer. We were talking one day, and I said to Vicki, do you drive home at night and answer all these phone calls from friends of friends and family members about their friends and family getting cancer? And she said, yeah. And I said, do you tell the same stories over and over again? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, why don't we write a book?
Yeah. In the beginning, having a diagnosis of cancer, and I'm sure Jenny can talk about this, is incredibly surreal. Like, you just cannot believe this is happening. And there are so many things to learn. And what I always say to patients is, I wish you didn't need to become a competent, capable cancer patient, but you will. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, it's incredibly disorienting. So in the beginning, it's just understanding what kind of cancer and what kind of treatment and how will I feel and how do I live my life? And that we try to help patients, you know, kind of take them by the hand and take them one step at a time through that process.
So let me ask you, in terms of the bringing together of cancer care and palliative care, when we say palliative care in this context, what exactly do we mean? Because I imagine that some people think, when they hear it, they think end-of-life care.
Yeah, it's a great question. So palliative care is often confused with hospice. Palliative care is a subspecialty, medical subspecialty, where we focus on quality of life for patients with serious illness. So I care for patients with heart failure, with lung disease, with cancer. And when I walk into a patient room, I think when I walked in to see Jenny, I said, my job is to help you live as well as you can with this disease. And I'm going to care about how you're feeling physically, how you're coping emotionally, how your family's doing. So a very holistic approach. Dave takes care of the chemotherapy and all of those interventions, and I'm making sure pain and nausea are in good control and that any patient is able to live as fully as they can while they're living with this illness.
And the key thing is these two are happening together.
That's right.
It's a treatment team.
That's right.
Correct.
Jenny, I have a question for you. I have many questions for you. First of all, what was it like when Dr. Jackson did walk into your room and asked you those questions about how can we take care of you in these other ways?
Right. Well, it was quite surprising. I mean, when Dave recommended that I talk to Vicki initially, I was a little bit nervous because I did think that palliative care meant end-of-life care, and I wasn't ready to think of myself as dying. But instantly, as soon as I met Vicki and she started working with me, it became very clear that, as she said, that she was trying to help me really live my life as fully as possible and to go over, you know, how to cope with things like pain and side effects and emotional distress. So it became very clear to me quickly that Vicki was really there to help me deal with all the parts of my life that were being affected by cancer.
I can see it in multiple ways, right? And on the one hand, when someone first comes in and says, let's also think about these things, perhaps it's a great relief, right? Because you have a team that's thinking about the quality of your entire life. But on the other hand, was it somewhat overwhelming? Because not in addition to sort of the medical fact of your cancer, you had to think about all of these other things?
I mean, the cancer diagnosis itself was, you can't overstate how overwhelming it is.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, as Vicky said, it's so surreal. It just felt like this could not possibly be happening to me. And I was going through physically and mentally, I was going through a lot back last year when I got diagnosed. It was a really big relief to have Vicky come in and ask all these detailed questions about how I was doing, and for her to let me know that it would not stay that way, that she would make me better.
Do you mind if I ask? So you were diagnosed in 2015?
2016. So yeah, about a year ago, last July.
And may I ask what kind of cancer you
were diagnosed? Sure, stage 4 pancreatic cancer with metastases to my liver. So pretty bad diagnosis.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
How are you doing right now?
Right now, I mean, I'm, you know, very, very appreciative of, you know, the great medical care through Dave and Vicky that I've had. Dave has helped me get on, you know, these treatment path that has really helped me a lot from where I was last year. And Vicky has helped me get through the rest of my life, really, and how to cope with this. So compared to how I was last year, I am doing worlds better.
Yeah. Can you talk about some of the choices or decisions that you made when, you know, regarding those questions about how do we take care of these other parts of your life that Vicky initially asked you?
So, I mean, you know, a lot of it dealt with, you know, different medications and, you know, how to sort of properly treat a lot of the side effects and symptoms. And then there was the emotional piece. And, you know, it was, you know, I had to really think about how to, you know, sort of frame the having cancer in a way that I could deal with it, that I could live with it because it wasn't going away. And Vicky really helped me do that. She has this great metaphor of the box where you put these thoughts that you don't really want to think about, you know, that maybe are about scary future, you know, things like that. And how you, you know, sometimes open the box and talk about these issues that you don't want to talk about that are scary. And then you learn how to compartmentalize and close the box and try to live your life normally. And so I really try to really take that in and use some of those skills.
Dr. Ryan, how much does the integrated nature of, you know, this kind of treatment that we're talking about, how does that affect sort of the oncology side of things?
Oh, it makes it so much better. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of research around this. It culminated with our colleague Jennifer Tummel in her study in 2010 in lung cancer patients that showed that early palliative care actually does change the outcome. It helps people feel better, helps people be less depressed, and even in some instances can help people live longer. So it's hard. Jenny alluded to it. When you first get diagnosed with cancer, it's overwhelming. There's a lot of things that need to happen. There's portocaths and blood draws and scans and chemo. And so when you're coming in to meet your oncologist, you're feeling rushed because you have to get up to chemo. And you want to talk about your blood counts and the chemotherapy and the dosing and the side effects from chemo. And then all of a sudden, your infusion unit appointment, you're already 10 minutes late for that. And you want to run up and make sure that your nurse has the orders ready because you have to be home to get to the babysitter so the kids can move on. And all of that means that you're not talking about all the bigger ticket items, like how is the overall pain management? How am I coping emotionally? You know, what are my strategies to move forward with my life? And I think that does get short shrift in many of the oncology visits. And when we're together with palliative care, all of a sudden it brings that whole aspect back.
Jenny and Dr. Jackson, actually, can I ask you guys a question here? Because I'm still very moved, Jenny, by the fact that you wanted me to introduce you as the mom of two wonderful kids.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it occurs to me that part of the universe of your thinking around your diagnosis had to be like your family,
right,
as well.
Yes.
And was that must have been major parts of the conversations you had with
Absolutely.
The team.
I mean, the most tragic part about this really for me is my two young girls. I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. They're also the best distractions that I have in my life, besides my husband and the rest of my family and friends. But it is exceedingly difficult going through this with my two young girls. So that is something that Vicky and I talk about very regularly.
I think the other piece, it's not just what does this do to a family, like thinking bigger picture? It's also like very practical day-to-day things, right? Like, how do we have your pain in good control so you can be a mom? How do we make sure that on days when you feel a little crummy, you can think about how you're going to read with the kids or do other things? So this role of being a mother can be actualized as much as possible, depending upon what's happening with the cancer or the treatment on a specific day. It's not only the emotional coping, but it's all of how the physical symptoms from the cancer and from the treatment impact day to day that really make it challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an effort when I'm, you know, during my bad days on chemo, I want to be with my kids at all times, but it's hard. Yeah. I mean, I'm not feeling well, and it's hard to be really present. And I try as much as I can. And my good days, I really am able to be, but it's a struggle.
It's hard on days when people are feeling perfectly healthy. So I can only imagine the challenge that presents. So, you know, one of the things that this book does so well, and hearing these stories, it's sort of bringing me to a subject that we've actually talked about on the show quite a bit, and that's how much cancer treatment has changed and evolved over time, going from a place where the focus was purely on the medical treatment of the tumor to this bigger picture of like bringing these other factors into it, the palliative care, the family piece, the emotional, the psychological piece, that they all do sort of work together to improve overall treatment. What is the thing that triggered the idea that we should bring these things together in the first place?
So I think it was a sense that we weren't doing everything that we could. You know, there's really only three things that you can do for somebody. You can do the best standard of care that someone can do. You can do the best experimental care that somebody can do. And you can do the best supportive care. And those three things should be offered at every moment. And in fact, the only thing that you can offer at all times is the best supportive care, because people can't do chemotherapy indefinitely. They're often on and off chemotherapy, or they can't do experimental therapy indefinitely. It's very hard, and most therapies you can't. But supportive care you can always do. And I think it was a recognition we need to do better, and we realized that we needed this specialty called palliative care to integrate into the oncology clinic so that we could provide the best supportive care that we could at all times.
The other thing that I think we've become really aware of over the years is that the relationship that a patient has with their oncologist is really powerful and mm-hmm. unique. And there are times when Dave and I would be seeing a patient and the patient would say, Dave, I'm doing fine. I'm great. And then I walk in the room and I'm like, how are things? Like, it's terrible. I've been in bed all week. And I call Dave and I'm like, Dave, what's going on? He's like, they didn't tell me that.
Why is that?
Well, it's a really great question. And I have asked my patients and they say a variety of these couple things. One time said to me, well, you know, he's trying so hard to treat my cancer and I don't want to let him down. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that he knows that I'm trying as hard as possible. And somehow describing their pain or other symptoms, I think they worried that would make the oncologist feel badly. I think other patients worry that if they actually say how they're feeling or the worries that are on their mind or physically how they're feeling, that the oncologist will pull back mm-hmm. and not give such aggressive chemotherapy. I also think that there are just different roles that we play. I have a different role, and there's a different space that is allowed because I am not holding the keys to the chemotherapy. And I think oncology treatment only gets more complicated year by year by year. There are more new treatments to think about that is a full-time job.
Right. So I want to ask you guys a question, all of three of you, a question about that in just a second. But Jenny, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but this is a radio interview, so I might end up doing that. But have you ever had times where you found that it was better to have this team like this for exactly this reason, that maybe you could tell one of them something different? Not that you were saying things that were opposed to each other, but...
Right. Well, I mean, you know, as Dave said, there is so much to learn.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn about biology and about the cancer and about the treatment options. And you know, I had a vague notion of what my pancreas even did before I got pancreatic cancer, you know. But I really feel like my time is best spent talking about those types of things with Dave. And then with Vicky, I feel like my time is best spent talking about everything else.
So just let me ask, what would be your sort of chief piece of advice?
I think it's don't assume that just because you have cancer and are going through treatment that you are destined to feel crummy. right? Expect that your nausea will be treated. Expect that your pain will be treated. It would be unusual not to have times that you are worried about what's going on and find a safe place to talk about that, because that actually helps you live more fully with the illness instead of trying to stuff it all down.
Wow. Can I ask you one more question?
Absolutely.
How's your family doing right now?
My family is doing as well as they could possibly be doing. Yeah. My husband and I try to, you know, give our kids, you know, happy childhoods. You know, we try to keep the pain from, you know, my pain for our pain from them as much as possible, and have them live their normal lives. We, you know, the one thing that this cancer has done for us positively is really make us appreciate every single day that we have together. And so we really value every minute that we spend together. And we spend a lot of time doing, you know, family outings and family trips and stuff to spend time together.
Yeah. Well, the book is Living with Cancer, a step-by-step guide for coping medically and emotionally with a serious diagnosis. It's co-authored by Dr. Vicki Jackson. She's chief of the palliative care division at Mass General, and by Dr. David Ryan. He's chief of hematology and oncology at MGH and also the clinical director of the Cancer Center. Dr. Jackson and Dr. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jenny Bass, a patient of Dr. Jackson and Ryan, and I'm going to say it again, a mom of two beautiful children. Jenny, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.